Wonderful. Thank you, children, for that. And appreciate our kids workers just working so tirelessly with them, and appreciate all the dads and just your faithfulness. But, you know, I am thankful for our Heavenly Father this morning. And He is a gracious, gracious and wonderful God. And I'm so thankful that as we journey on this earth, there's the tenderness of our Heavenly Father. He sees us and we are His children. And we're so glad for that. Proverbs 27 this morning, and we'll be focusing on one verse as we put forward a challenge to all of us as men. And I know that this morning there's many things that we can preach on, many things that we could focus on, but I wanted to get back to a series I did. I started on my first Sunday here on man devotionals or manly devotions, all right? And we've been talking a little bit about different character traits, and we're going to talk about this character trait of just being present. And it's one of those things that as men, we've got to be constantly working on. And, you know, as a child, I was very much a handful, if you could imagine that. And and one of the things that I just was, as a kid, I was just hyper. I was just hyper, all right? I was just hyperactive, and I couldn't sit still, and all of that. If there was a diagnosis, there would have been one for me, all right? But, you know, it was hard for me to be in the moment. And often I would sit there and my dad or my mom or someone else would be talking, and they'd be telling me, I'm sure, something really important, but my mind was already on the next thing I was meant to do. And I'm just constantly just thinking about and constantly being outside, and all I wanted to do was the next thing. And you know, I think as men, we can be a little bit that way generally. We are task-oriented. We're driven to achieve. We're driven to go through. And if we're a list type of guy, we want to get that list done by the end of the day. And it bothers us if we go to sleep and it's undone. And sometimes we're active in many ways, but we're not active in this, just being present. And there's certain absences that is obvious. You know, you could detect them easily, a man who's not there at all, a chair that's empty, maybe a voice that's missing. And I know that some, you're missing that on for that reason. They've now gone on to glory. But sometimes it's just that you're missing a presence that you're longing for but never arrives. And I think we understand that that kind of absence is obvious. Why? Because it is obvious. And it's often addressed, but there's another kind of absence. I think that's far more subtle, because it is subtle. And I want to say this, it's far more dangerous as well. And it's an absence of a man who's physically present but relationally disengaged. And, you know, sometimes we're like that in a church setting. Some of you've already checked out. Some of you are already thinking, you know, of your strategy, where you're going to sit, you're going to stand on the rope, right? And all of that, you're already thinking about lunch. And, you know, we can be guilty of that. We can be here bodily, but emotionally and really in our intellect and in our spirit, we could be elsewhere. That's why we often would pray, even as we open the service, that we would just be protected from distraction, that we would be present, is really what we're saying. And there's a danger in that. You know, you could be in the house, but you're not in the moment. You could be in the room, but not in the lives of the people around you in the room. You could be providing, you could be working, you could be building, you could be achieving, and yet, just quietly, essentially, you're being neglectful. And Scripture, when you start to read and understand it, it really doesn't define manhood simply by strength, although men ought to be strong. It doesn't simply speak about manhood as far as provision, although we are called to be providers. Nor does it just speak in terms of authority, although we ought to have authority in the home. The Bible calls us to headship. But the Bible does define manhood really by stewardship, by attentiveness, by responsibility before God. And in our text, we're given a principle that really runs counter to sort of a definition of leadership that is accepted today, of passive leadership, of just sort of sitting back and just letting things go. And in Proverbs 27, notice with me verse 23, and the Bible just says this: be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. Now, there's a picture there. There's terminology there that we're not always using or we're not always familiar with. But it is speaking really about a principle of being present, of knowing where your flock is, knowing where your family is. And this isn't the language of distance. It's the language of being deliberate, of being careful, of being intentional in our awareness. It's a picture of a man who refuses to lead from afar, who refuses to assume, who refuses to drift. The Bible says he knows, he looks, and he pays attention. And so, on a day like Father's Day, you know, we could offer general encouragement without at times addressing specific responsibilities. But if we're going to honor men rightly, we've also got to call us men clearly. You see, the danger for any man isn't that they're absent in body, but here's what it is: they're absent in attention. And the quiet tragedy of that kind of absence is that it often goes unnoticed, or this, it's often excused. And here's the sad thing: it's excused until the consequences are already in motion. And so the question before us this morning isn't just this: men, are you there? It's this: are you present? It's not just do you provide, but do you perceive? I'm not asking are you leading, I'm asking do you actually know the people you're leading? Because according to the scriptures, true manhood isn't just measured by provision, it's measured by presence. So I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to help us this morning. And I want you to, while we're praying, pray for yourself. Pray that God would speak to you and highlight some things in your life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I'm so thankful today for the opportunities that we have to open your word. Lord, the opportunity, Lord, to rejoice in a wonderful, wonderful role that you've placed in, Lord, in our lives, placed in your design for the family, and that's the role of the Father. And Lord, ultimately we have the wonderful example of our Heavenly Father. But Lord, we live in a very fallen world. And Lord, you've given us your word to call us back to your ultimate design, to call us back to where we're best. And I pray that you'd help us as men, particularly as I open your word this morning, to be called back to a place of being present. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to just, Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to convict us. Allow your Holy Spirit then to challenge us. And then, Lord, that we would be willing to respond and make the changes that we need to best look after the flocks that you've given us. Lord, we're thankful today for each one. We're thankful especially for you. And we love you, Lord. We thank you. We pray for your blessing upon the message this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'm mindful that we're all at different stages. There's many of you there's who've been dads for a long time. There's some you're just new to the game. And here's what we're always going to be wrestling with, is this very thing of being present. And I want to say, firstly, there's the responsibility of presence. You know, it's not just something that just comes by, you know, naturally. In fact, the Bible tells us in verse 23, be thou diligent. You know, that understanding of diligence isn't just that you're going to slip into it. To be diligent means to you're purposeful, you're intentional, you're taking responsibility. And the command begins with diligence. It's not speaking about just being interested, not an occasional concern, not seasonal involvement. The Bible says diligence, be thou diligent. And again, that word carries the idea of effort. You know, today we're going to show a little bit of effort, right? We've mentioned already, we don't want the boys to win 2 years in a row. But we're going to show some effort. That's diligence, right? If we just come there and we casually, you know, take one arm on the rope and then everything else, then we're in danger, man. We're in danger. But it's effort. It's consistency. It's intentionality. It's intentional in our pursuit. And it means that presence, when we give presence, it's not just accidental. It's cultivated. It's not something a man just casually drifts into. It's something he decides upon and he disciplines himself toward. And the object of that diligence is nothing else but deeply personal. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. You know, sometimes we think about the struggles of manhood today and the whole premise of toxic masculinity that sometimes the world decries and it tries to push and tries to diminish the role of men in society. And we've got to be careful to not buy into that. We've got to be careful to not just feel sorry for ourselves in the day that we live in, that then we start to excuse ourselves from taking on the responsibility of diligence. And we've got to take care of that. And we've got to understand that it's something that we have to cultivate. It's something that we've got to choose to continue to grow in and continue to catch ourselves in. I mentioned earlier that it's not natural for me. I'm the type of person, I'm just constantly thinking. And you men are very much that way at times. You know how it is, you get busy. And some of you who are new to fatherhood, you've realized that how much busier your life has gotten. Hey, I have bad news for you. It just gets busier. Right? People told me when we had Malachi, our second one, you're like, you know, it's that you double your effort, right? But you still have two hands, so you can still take both of them on. Now, when you go to a third one, then it gets exponentially. And I didn't understand that until we had a third one. And then suddenly, when I was with them, I was outnumbered. Right? I didn't have enough hands and I didn't have enough. And life just gets busy. And sometimes here's what we want to do. We just want to sort of ignore it. Ignore the chaos. Ignore the you've already had a hard day. You've already been buffeted. You've already wrestled. You've already had that problem at work. You've already gone through all of the issues that men go through. And we're going. And then we get home. And you know what? We've got to choose to be present. We've got to choose. And I'm saying that this issue, this isn't some surface level awareness. It's not just knowing names without, actually, it's knowing names, but sometimes we don't know hearts. You know, I sometimes get sent funny videos and, you know, the dads that get caught out and sometimes there's people who interview people on the streets and they interview dads about their kids. Can you tell me your kids' birthdays in order? You know, like, which order? Age or, you know, and they're trying to get out and then they stuff up. What grade, what year is your child in? And they guess and they just, who's your child's teacher? Right, some of you are already going, okay, please don't publicly ask me right now. And all of that, some of us think, oh, that's all just extra superfluous. But actually, those are pretty basic things. Imagine knowing this child. And by the way, as fathers, we're given our children as a gift from the Lord. There's stewardship there. And it's our job to understand these human beings, to get to know these little ones. And it's important to then be intentional. It's not surface level awareness. It's not assuming then everything's fine because nothing appears broken. And I'm saying that actually this is a call to real knowing. You know, that word know in the Bible, it isn't just a cursory understanding of their basic details. To know someone in the Bible means to really be in their lives, to know deeply. You know, when God speaks about knowing us, it's not just he knows the... You remember the Bible says that he knows how many hairs there are on our heads. He knows the very details. He knows the minute things about our hearts. He even knows the thoughts before we think them. And I'm saying that there's a call to us men to real knowledge, to real attentiveness, to real observation, to real engagement, to real understanding. And in the ancient context in which this was written, a shepherd who didn't know the condition of his flock, he wasn't just called relaxed. You know, sometimes we look at ourselves and we're just like, well, I'm just not like that. I'm just a relaxed person. I'm not so intense. I'm not so... But listen, the Bible, when he speaks about this shepherd who knows and someone who doesn't know, who doesn't look at their flocks, they're not just called relaxed. You know what they were? They were irresponsible. And what you don't know, you can't lead. And what you don't watch, you can't protect. And I'm saying that this flies against, you know, sometimes the very fiber of our being, because this isn't just task-oriented responsibility. You know, again, we're oriented that way as men. We have responsibilities and we task them and we order them that way. And I'm saying for us men in this auditorium, although you have other responsibilities that you've got to juggle, your first flock isn't your career. In fact, your first flock isn't even your ministry. Your first flock isn't even your ambitions. I want to remind you, your first flock is your home. You see, even when it comes to those that God might call to bigger responsibilities or other responsibilities, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the makings of one who will be an overseer, a bishop, who desires a good work, it speaks of them as one that ruleth well his own house. See, if a man doesn't know how to govern or guide or care for the people closest to him, then any leadership beyond that becomes hollow. See, the home isn't some sort of side assignment that God gives us. It's not it. It's actually the main thing. It's the proving ground of true manhood. And, you know, one of the things that I often observe in young leaders, I watch their interaction with mom and dad. I watch how they respond. I watch how they treat older men. I watch how well they regard and the manners that they show. Why? Because when they have an understanding of those authority structures in their lives, then they understand their responsibility. And similarly, I look at that relationship with men that are older and perhaps looking into greater responsibility. I watch how they treat their wife. I watch how they treat their children. I watch how they speak to them. I watch how they seem to be in connection, and they just know, and they can almost second nature predict how their kids are going to behave. You know, there's a knowing. I'm saying there's a responsibility that's intentional. And it's not just a task-oriented responsibility. The home isn't a side assignment. It's a proving ground for true manhood. You know, this isn't personality type excusing. Again, sometimes here's the way we go. Oh, it's just not my personality. I'm just not that way. Other men are like that. They just seem to be that way. But listen, here's where many men quietly excuse themselves. They say, you know, that's just not how I'm wired. I'm not expressive that way. I'm not naturally attentive. Hey, listen, if you're a man, you're not naturally attentive, right? Listen, Scripture doesn't frame this as some sort of personality trait. No, it frames it as character. It's responsibility. You know, you might not be naturally inclined towards presence, but here's what I'm saying. You're biblically commanded to be that. And that what God commands, he expects to be obeyed, not just explained away. You know, we're so good at that, aren't we? We're so good at explaining things away that we're just not, we're not inclined to. So I'm saying that presence isn't just a personality trait. It's a spiritual discipline. It's the decision to step into moments, to ask questions, to observe patterns, to listen carefully, and to engage intentionally. And when was the last time you had a meaningful conversation? You really asked and you really listened and you really tried to understand. And what it is, it's a refusal to let life in your home run on autopilot while you remain on the sideline. You ever been so busy, men, that you've had so much in your mind, you've just been on autopilot? I think we're all guilty of that. I remember one time I just started in the ministry and I was still living at home. We were dating, Azzy and I, and my dad called me, and he worked at a steel mill around the corner. And he called me and he said, "Hey, can you pick me up? Mum had to take the car and I'm done." So I said, "Yeah, I'm just around the corner." But I had so much on my mind. We had youth camp. We had other things coming up. And I had other things that I was thinking about. And I got in that car and I just started driving. Anyone ever do that? I just started driving. And then I remember, just as if I blinked, and suddenly I was in the church parking lot. And my dad was calling me on the phone going, "Where are you?" And I said, I don't know. I just was completely, but sometimes in life you go into autopilot and you start to look around and it's like, who are these people? What? Well, I don't know who they are. And you begin to understand, I've missed some things. And listen, if you're going to avoid that, you're going to need to take some responsibility. There's a responsibility of presence. See, a man who's present doesn't just exist in a space. In fact, he knows what's happening in it. But see, corresponding to that, secondly, this morning, there's the danger of distance. He says there in verse 23, to know the state of thy flocks. So here's the argument. If presence is a responsibility, then distance or disconnectedness is a danger. Again, and it's not always an obvious one. Distance, you know, it often is disguised by busyness, by productivity, by even sacrifice. And we can convince ourselves that everything we're doing is for the family, while at the same time, we're becoming increasingly disconnected from them. And, you know, some of the characteristics of this danger is firstly this: ignorance. The first danger of distance is ignorance. You can't lead what you don't know. And many men are shocked by outcomes in their homes, not because those outcomes appeared suddenly, but simply this: we weren't paying attention as they developed gradually. See, things just don't drift overnight. Relationships don't fracture in a moment. You know what those things do? They unfold quietly over time in the absence of attentiveness. You know, this was demonstrated in the life of a man who was a high priest, the life of Eli. And Eli was an important figure in the nation's worship. He was a high priest. He was the one when Samuel was brought to the temple, he was the one in charge. And yet, the Bible says that because of Eli's neglect at home, his sons were sons of Belial. His sons had wandered off, and there was a recognition by the nation that there was something happening, and unknown to Eli, all of this was happening. And I'm saying that we can have position as men. We can have authority. We can have responsibility in other areas. And yet this was a man who failed to restrain. He was present in role, but absent in action. And the result, it wasn't just a personal failure, but a generational consequence. And listen, ignorance, the distance that we distance at a level of leadership, you know, at times it multiplies the things that the consequences in others' lives. And so ignorance, the second characteristic that gets affected is just influences. You know, when we allow the danger of distance, there's other influences. It invites other influences. If a father isn't shaping the home, something else will. See, culture doesn't ask for permission. Screens don't pause for discernment. Peers don't operate with biblical priorities. And when we as men, we step back, intentionally or unintentionally, you know what we're doing? We're creating a neutral environment. We're creating a vacuum. And vacuums always get filled. So influences. And here's another danger, is it just becomes internalized. And I think the most dangerous part of distance is that it begins to, or we tell ourselves, this is normal. See, a man can become so accustomed to being disengaged that he no longer realizes that it's a problem. He no longer recognizes there's a problem there. I think of Samson. He got so accustomed to being disconnected from God that the Bible says that he wist not that he was no longer with him. And you know, sometimes it's in that regard. We become lackadaisical, casual, nonchalant when it comes to our walk with God, of being in His presence, present in His presence. And we tend to, you know, excuse that away from with the idea of being too busy, being too in demand, being too this and that. And we got to be careful to understand that actually in that regard, your connection with God is so important. But I want to say to you that we can be like that when it comes to our homes. We can excuse it away. And we internalize. We're tired. We're busy. We're occupied. And slowly, slowly, provision, achievement, ambition, they become a substitute for presence. And here's a sad reality of our day. Many fathers give everything to their families except themselves. You know, some men, no doubt, you know, you have limited opportunities. And you got to take it. We understand we got to provide as men. But some men are sacrificing their families on the altar of providing for them. And I'm not saying that they don't care, but because they're confused perhaps what their family needs most. And I'm saying this morning that provision is necessary, but I'm saying it's not sufficient. See, a house can be full of resources and it can still be empty of leadership. And so distance doesn't always look like abandonment. Here's what distance sometimes looks like: success without awareness. And that's what makes it so dangerous. And then thirdly this morning, the strength of intentionality. Look at verse 23 again. It says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks." And then the third part, "and look well to thy herds." The second phrase reinforces the first. He says, "Look well." You know, what that is, it's careful observation. What the Bible means there, it's a sustained attention. This is the posture of a man who refuses to be careless with what God has entrusted to him. And you know, sometimes we borrow something from a friend and we're more careful, aren't we? Why? Because we don't want to pay for it. We didn't have it in the first place. That's why we borrowed it in the first place. And so we're very careful. We might have borrowed our friend's vehicle. And you're very careful. You want to park it far away from all the other crazy drivers, not you, the other crazy drivers, right? And you're so precious with it. Why? Because you don't really own it. And yet, so many more valuable, not things, valuable people, we don't take ownership. We sort of go, well, someone else is going to do that. Well, someone else, well, I'll just send them to this and I'll send them to that. And listen, there's intentionality. The Bible says to look well. See, shepherds weren't reactive. They were proactive. They went. And if you ever think about Psalm 23, that shepherd went about and he prepared. And there's a proactiveness that we need to bring into fatherhood. And, you know, it doesn't wait for problems to escalate. Listen, it notices them early. So how do we do that? How do we have strength of intentionality? Firstly, men, here's what we need to do. We need to be studious. We need to be students of our families. See, a present man studies his people. He's observant. He pays attention to tone. He pays attention to patterns. He pays attention to pressures. We were just talking this morning around breakfast. There's just, you know, I have two boys and, you know, unfortunately for them, they're like me. They're hyper. They want to talk at the same time about different things. And they're talking and they're commenting and they're going back and forth. And it's not even with each other. It's with different people in the room. Sometimes it's not even people in the room. It's just made up people in the room. Right? And you're just going, and then I have a daughter. And she's sitting there, and she's like, guys, I can't concentrate. You know, and all of these voices, and there's a, we should know that. And you know, we go, okay, guys, slow down, right? I'm not always that calm. It was Father's Day, so I was extra calm today. But I was like, hey, slow down, just take turns. And you know, because you know. You know it stresses, you know that, and then you know that there's certain things that your wife expects. So in the morning, when the dishes are out and, you know, a certain one of the boys didn't do their duty, I'm like, wake up, you need to do the dishes. Mom's got to stress out, you know. Why? Because you know, there's tendencies, there's patterns. And guys, listen, that takes studiousness. He knows when something's off. He knows when nothing's been said. He doesn't assume that just because everything's quiet, then it's healthy. You know, there's that throwaway line. It's a little too quiet, right? And sometimes we can't assume that things are just good because we don't hear anything. You know what we do as men? We lean in. We watch. We learn. And leadership isn't just about giving direction. It's actually about understanding conditions. Right? That's what a shepherd does. He understands the condition of the lay of the land. And he goes out, and because he has sheep, he's not caring for himself so much as he's caring for those sheep. He's caring for that flock. He's understanding that what they need is a certain thing. And so he knows when something's off. He doesn't assume that silence equals health. And he understands the condition. But you know what else we need to be? Not only studious, we need to be formative. And again, this comes from understanding. When we understand, then we can speak to something. It's not just correction, but formation. Not only discipline, but discipleship. And what we're doing is we're intentionally aiming them. Hey, isn't there a Bible verse that speaks about children being arrows? Arrows in no one else's hand but mighty men. The Bible says that mighty men know how to direct arrows. And we're supposed to form them. We're supposed to direct them a certain way. We're not allowing any influence around the world in any other place. We're looking at good environments in which they can be formed. And so we're forming. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, 4 that fathers need to bring up their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We know that. And it requires time. It requires conversations. It requires intentional moments where we're giving truth. We're not just declaring it, but we're demonstrating it. You know, I love sitting with dads and just picking their brain a little bit. We're talking through this week, and I was talking with a few men and about just different things. Like they've got older kids than me, and I like where the kids have turned out. I was asking them some things, and a big part of it was that, and it's just regardless of the specific thing they did it with their children. You know, dads, listen, something I've said to myself, and I keep repeating to myself, is this: some things are better caught than taught. They catch it from you. They observe. And we better be then equally observant and then purposeful in the way we do things and the way we are, and we better be surrendered. We better be the ones that lead the charge. If we expect our kids to be responsive to the Word of God, we better be responsive to the Word of God. If we expect to prioritize the things that are right and the things that are good, then we better balance our lives to ensure that that's inherently obvious. That's presence. It's formative. We're discipling. Listen, discipleship isn't just, it's not a program of the church. In fact, it's part of the Great Commission, but it's inherent in our homes. It ought to be. And it ought to be our desire that we teach things to our children that form them. But you know what? Here's what it is. It requires time. It requires conversation. And really, to follow that is really just this exemplified. And really, it's beyond responsibility. It goes into representing. See, the model of this kind of leadership, it's not found in just declaring expectations. It's actually modeling that, and also just really modeling God himself. You think about God, he's not distant. He's engaged. He isn't unaware. He's attentive. He's present. He's near. And in the New Testament, that reality comes into full clarity in no other way but in the person of Jesus Christ. Remember who Jesus described himself as? He's the good shepherd. And what marks him as good, it's not his authority, but it's his presence. He knows his sheep. He calls them by name. He goes before them. He's not some abstract creation of our imagination. No, he's engaged. He's not removed. He's near. He's not indifferent. He's invested. And some of us need to get back to recognizing our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, and saying, I just want to be like you. You know, we miss out on so much that God has readily provided in his word. And so we need to be exemplified, but then really it comes down to this. We just need to be decisive. See, when a man chooses distance, what he's doing is he's misrepresenting the God he claims to follow. We say we follow God, but we're not like him. But when a man chooses presence, what he's doing, he's reflecting something that is inherent in the good shepherd who never leaves his flock unattended. You see, Jesus doesn't lead from afar. He leads from within. In fact, he's so within, he stepped into our condition. He bore our burdens. He laid down his life. And in doing so, he sets a pattern for what true leadership looks like. It's not distant authority, but it's present, present sacrifice. And so, this morning, the call is to be a present man. Listen, it's not just a call for better behavior. Some of us just want that. It's simple. No, it's a call to better representation. It's presence. Again, a man can be in the house and still be missing. He can be present in form, but absent in function. He can build a life around his family and yet fail to build into his family. And that the danger of that kind of absence is that it rarely, sometimes even is noticed. It's revealed over time and in ways that can't easily be undone. But Scripture challenges us back. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. And I'm saying that the hope of all of this is that we have the great example. We have the example and the power of Christ. The same shepherd who knows his sheep, he enables us, his servants. And so this morning, the question is simple. Are you there? Many of you are. But the question is, are you present? See, true manhood isn't just measured by what you build for your family, but by who you are to your family. You need to be present. You need to be attentive. And you need to be engaged. And in that, you reflect the God who's present in your life. You reflect the shepherd who's there and he gave his life for his sheep. Let's pray. Father, thank you. for this morning. I thank you, dear God, that, Lord, that we do have many men here who, Lord, you've blessed with a family, a home. You're blessed with responsibility. And Father, we recognize that within that, there's a danger to drift. There's a danger to prioritize many things that are important but aren't as important. And I pray that you'd help each and every one of us men to be the kind of men who won't just be there, but will be present. Be present in our families, present in the moment, present in relationship, present in understanding and knowing. And I pray that you'd help each and every one of us, Lord, to just look to you. And Father, perhaps there's other things that, Lord, you spoke to others about. I pray that you'd help them today. We're going to have a time of invitation. I'm going to...